Hello, world, and welcome to the For Your Best Self podcast. It's cosmetic dermatologist Dr. Saluja, and today I'm proud and pleased to host our very own Tom Arnold, dermatology plus plastic surgery's director of aesthetics and recent live kidney donor. On this podcast, we talk about all things related to your best self. And we think giving back is a key component of a beautiful inner self. Tom chose to donate one of his kidneys last year as a way of giving back. And I wanted to talk to him about this so he could share his story and inspire you to give back or continue giving back. Welcome back to the podcast, Tom.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, you mentioned you were last here.
I think it's been like 3 years almost. It feels like it's been a while.
And you were talking to Dr. Novo in that episode about
my journey through aesthetics and how I found the practice and then really how that passion turned into a career. So
related to aesthetics, right? We relate aesthetics to For Your Best Self.
Yep.
And today we're going to relate For Your Best Self to giving back. And giving back in your case is live kidney donation. So what is being a living donor or living donation?
So being a living donor is a really special thing. There's actually only, and don't quote me on it, but each year there's only roughly 400 living donors that are donating their kidneys, whether it's to a family member, a friend, a relative, or even they call it altruistic donating, which is to a random recipient. And so I have always wanted to do something like this to give back. I felt like my calling was there. I've wanted to do this since I was a kid. My dad's personally had 3 kidney transplants, and that's what got me thinking. And he wasn't eligible for a 4th. So when I met with one of his transplant surgeons a couple years ago, it really started that conversation. How can I take this approach, even if I don't know somebody who is eligible to receive? So over 18 months, I had full body scans and blood work and anything you could imagine. I felt like I got a great workup. And then they were able to match me with my recipient in Chicago at Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know who they are, but I do know that they are living and doing well, which is really awesome. I just had my 6-month follow-up last Monday, and I was able to get a peek at kind of how they're doing. So it's really cool to see that my kidney is thriving out in Chicago.
That is wonderful.
Yeah.
Your kidney's living an exciting life in Chicago.
I know, right?
You mentioned briefly about your why.
Yeah.
Why your kidney?
Yeah, so 1999 was when my dad was originally diagnosed with IgA nephropathy, which is a type of renal failure.
Okay.
He was in the military. I think he was like 27 at the time. He was overall healthy. It was just kind of like a fluke thing, not a genetic thing, which we did get tested for. And so in 2001, he had his first kidney transplant, which was actually donated by his middle sister. That actually ended up giving him another, like, I want to say 5 or 6 years. And then we went back onto dialysis, and we did that for a couple of years before his transplant team in Orlando. Shout out to Advent Health, because they have been nothing but amazing, even back when it was Florida Hospital. They said, why don't we reapproach a second kidney transplant? And so for us, we were like, this is our chance. This is, mm-hmm. we've got this. And his diagnosis went from IgA nephropathy to FSGS, which is, in speculation, they say a little more rare from the conversations we've had, but he was testing positive for both. Again, were random and just like kind of like a fluke thing.
Okay.
So his other sister, luckily he has a big family, donated that second kidney. And this was in 2008. So I was probably 13 at the time. And I just remember praying at night, like, I wish I could do it. I wish I could be there for him in this way that I just physically was not able to. So that one didn't end up taking. So, with kidney transplants, you have that risk of not even making it off the table, right, with any risk. So he had an internal bleed, and they weren't able to
during surgery.
So they weren't able to keep the kidney. He was in and out of ICU for years after that, just trying to get him stable again. And we really thought that was kind of it. That was our journey with getting him a kidney and giving him more time.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, he was still really healthy through the process. Mm-hmm. It was just not you know, having a kidney. And if for those who are listening, and if you don't understand kind of what your kidney does, is it produces that urine and it helps to get rid of your toxins. And so,
and both kidneys weren't functioning,
correct,
right?
Correct.
And kidneys. The reason you can donate one is because your other one fully functions.
You got it. Yep. So my GFR, which was like 35% more than what the average person had, made me eligible to give one of my kidneys, because that meant my other kidney was going to work at close to 100%.
And because your dad's condition was not genetic, you don't have to worry about, correct, getting something from him in terms of kidney disease.
Correct.
Okay.
So yes, I have one kidney now, and yes, my risks of hypertension, diabetes, obesity, all of those other, you know, comorbidities, what someone would, mm-hmm, classify, are there. So I take a very real chance every day to, mm-hmm, make sure that I'm living a healthier life. I focus on my hydration and my exercise, and just trying to live that overall For Your Best Self wellness life. And then fast forwarding, we did circle back in 2015, and we were going to do a third kidney transplant. And, mm-hmm, so I actually got tested and I was not a match. Mm-hmm. So I was not able to donate to my dad. And they said, because
what's the percentage? Do you know if there's a percentage of what a child could be for matches or any?
I don't know that off the top, okay, of my head, but, okay, we were not even close. I know that, okay, there's like a window where they say, okay, this could work out, but, okay, there's a lot of factors that go into it, which I didn't realize until I went through the process myself. So we actually got him in a clinical trial to get a non-living donor. So that's kind of where living donation comes from, because many of us on our driver's license have that living donor sticker. And what that means is, if you were to pass...
You mean the non-living donor,
correct,
sticker? Okay.
Yes.
So if we were to pass, okay.
Correct. And so if we're to pass, we give away our organs, right? And so when someone passed away, my dad was able to, for his third transplant, take a non-living kidney from a cadaver, essentially, is what they,
okay,
call them. And
so it's someone has to die in a certain way or pass away in a certain,
correct,
way, where their organ is still viable.
Yes. And so, okay, and it's also, it's like right out of the movies.
In a
short window,
amount of time.
Yeah, we got a call at 3 o'clock in the morning, and we were in Orlando in 45 minutes.
Okay.
And we had a couple of those calls, and they don't always work out. So, you know, the third or fourth time getting that call, it's mentally draining, honestly. So he got a third kidney, and then they put him on, you know, specific medication to see if this would help. And it was actually originally for like RA, rheumatoid arthritis, but it ended up not working out. And through all of this, I felt like I was at a point in my life where I was ready to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And that's really when I started talking to his transplant team and the surgeons in Orlando and asking, how can I get involved? How can I give back? There is an organization called Great to Donate that I try and participate with. They, mm-hmm, do 5Ks and different ways for fundraising, and that really led me to my journey through being a living donor. And it's been, if I could do it again, I 100% would. And I tell people, you know, if you're not financially able to donate, but you're healthy enough to donate and you're considering it, you know, please come and talk to me. I can get you pointed in the right direction to even see if it's something that you could physically do. I mean, it brings me to tears every time I talk about it, because it's something that it's become my identity.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you wanted to do it, but what things did you look at to actually make the decision?
Yeah, so I told myself going into the conversations that I was having, there would be what I called my ejection button. So if I, okay, was not healthy enough, or if a scan showed something where it would put me at a higher risk if I got rid of my kidney,
okay,
I ultimately had to put me first.
Right.
And those were some of the biggest things that I looked at. And I, you know, I was, when I started the process, I was like 28. So I had in my head, I have a long life to live.
Right.
And I want to make sure that I set future me up for success as well. And so my biggest factor was making sure that I cleared all of those tests, not by just a percentage, but like by a large number. For instance, like a healthy human, that GFR rate for people was
the filtration rate.
The filtration rate is like 80 to 90. Mine was like 120.
Okay.
And so for me, that was like, hey, your kidneys are working.
Okay.
So that is just one example of many that I was able to kind of use as like I'm getting signs that this,
right,
is really what
this
I'm
is
meant
supposed
to be.
To.
Yeah.
Is there a first step people can go to get more information on?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you are interested in donating, I personally went through Advent Health in Orlando, so you can always check out their living donor. It's called Trans Life. That's the name of the organization in Orlando. But I do know that a lot of the major like research institutions and hospitals that are, you know, partnered with other universities will do. You have to look for like a, you know, there's like trauma centers, there's transplant centers, and reach out and say, hey, I'm really interested. Can I at least get some information? My first step when I went through that process was getting a packet, right? They gave me a whole packet on statistics and, you know, statistically speaking, people living donors actually end up living longer, healthier lives with one kidney because you're so focused on what you have to do to maintain that. And so a lot of these statistics, not that I wanted to become another statistic, although I, you know, it was a motivational factor. It did play a piece in that.
Yeah. You're
decision.
Not taking your kidney or kidneys for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Share about the actual procedure day.
Yeah. So, wow, is all I can say. I mean, I have never had a surgery in my life, and I take pride in not having, you know, being fearful of situations. I go into it with an open mind, and leading up to it, my surgery got scrubbed, four or five times.
Yes, it got delayed. Tom would come to work, my surgery is this date. Oh, no, I guess my surgery is not this date.
Yeah.
It's this other date.
And I kept believing in it's supposed to happen, the day it's supposed to happen, when it's supposed to happen, the way it's supposed to happen. I had to let go of like this control I wanted over the situation. But we finally got to the day.
Right.
My family, friends, we all got together on a Sunday and just, we called it my last supper. and my surgery was Monday morning. I arrived to the surgery center in Orlando at like, I want to say 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. I didn't sleep at all the night before. It was almost like Christmas morning. I was genuinely excited. I had zero fear. I got to the, you know, the pre-op area. They checked me in. We started doing like the full scrubs. I got in my gown. And then I got in the bed. I'll never forget this. And I just was like looking like, okay, this is very serious. They let my family come back. And then, you know, the doctors were coming in. They had a couple of students with them that were going to be also partaking in the surgery, medical students, which they had asked beforehand. They also asked, since I was so open about this, if they could do live video for teaching purposes, which they actually are presenting at conferences, which is really awesome. So I feel like not only did I donate my kidney, but I donated a part of myself to research and to hopefully get more people interested. And then they give you a little bit of Versed, and then I was fine.
And yeah, of course.
I was so nervous. They
don't refuse medication. Yeah.
and that's was, you know, kind of the last little bit that I remembered. And then waking up and just, it was, I think, a lot more than you would anticipate as far as like discomfort and even mentally, like for me, like
the biggest challenges, expected or unexpected, that you,
you know, you want to say
faced.
They're expected, very unexpected. You know, for me, I've always, you know, taken pride in like, if I ever felt like, hey, I'm having a bad day, I'm going to get up, I'm going to go work out, I'm going to run, I'm going to do all of these physical challenges that kind of help clear my head. But that was the biggest thing I felt, that I couldn't even get out of bed. Or so there was that mental hurdle that I wasn't really anticipating, that really challenged me. And, you know, they were transparent about that. Luckily, when you go through the donation process, they set you up with a social worker, and they set you up with an entire team, a dietitian, a psychologist. Like, I had resources to rely on, which was really beneficial for me. And just kind of walking me through, like, these are normal things, right? Like, you have to every day take one step further. You have to continue to improve. Like, those are things. And then I got to a point where it became hindsight. And then I started pushing myself. And then I did a Spartan race. And, like, I just, like, I wasn't going to allow this to slow me down. And I think, you know, they had
And
that.
How far after did you do the Spartan race? Like, when did, what time period did you really feel like you were in recovery? You know, because your goal was, like, oh, 1 to 2 weeks. But what did you, it, what really felt like a recovery period?
I would definitely say I made exponential progress after day 5. The first 5 days was like, I don't know what I did. Why did I do this?
When did you feel back though to your normal self?
I would say week 4. Week four was really when I felt that my scar tissue was starting to form. I was kind of in the clear from some of the what they would classify as like post-surgical complications. You know, I had many a post-ops. Like I had my, obviously my first day, my week one, and so on. So I felt like I was being monitored closely, that I felt good about my healing process. They felt that I was in the right place. So right around that 1 month mark, I decided like, okay, I think I'm back to normal. They cleared me for light activity, which I definitely pushed the envelope there. And then, so my surgery was September 18th. And then roughly two months later is when I did my half marathon with 30 obstacles, which was, it felt like almost a gift to be able to say that I donated my kidney and then turn around and do something that was so physically challenging.
Right.
It was really like, I just felt like it was humbling is the only way I can explain it.
Right. Right. Like here. And probably you were proud of yourself a little
bit,
too. Yeah,
definitely.
Right?
I was like, I have one kidney. I'm looking at everyone. I'm like, you guys have two kidneys.
Right. I did this. Did you need help with this surgery, pre, post-surgery? Did anyone rise to the occasion for you?
Yes. My family.
And, you know, what does the support system look like? What should people
And they're very transparent about that. That, you know, when I met with my social worker, my psychologist, they are like, you have to have a support system in place, because if you don't have that, when you wake up and you're like, oh crap, this is a little bit more than I thought, you need to lean on them. My family was there through and through. My partner also definitely rose to the occasion. I didn't expect everyone to come to the, I mean, I knew they would, mm-hmm. right? You always anticipate that everyone's going to be there for you, but my family and my partner were paramount. Honestly, I look back and I'm beyond grateful that I have that support and love in my life, because there is without a shadow of a doubt, I would have found a way to do it, but I think where I felt good, that it might have been a lot longer. You know, my partner really challenged me to do those things and get up and walk every morning and, you know, get back to being healthy and doing a Spartan race, which ultimately pushed me over what could have been a longer hurdle a lot shorter.
Did you learn anything from this that you could bring back to work?
Yeah. So, you know, the reason a lot of us get into healthcare is because we're compassionate and we care. And, you know, for me, giving back just meant giving a piece of me. And so one thing I really took away from this was, A, life is so short. Mm-hmm. You know, at any moment, things could change and we might need an organ.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to go into every situation with a unique perspective, I do feel like I look at life a lot differently. I look at people a lot differently. And I've realized that everyone has a story. So I do feel that there is a level of authenticity when I have conversations with people that allow me to be a little bit more, I don't want to use the word unhinged because that doesn't sound right, but I do feel like I go into
maybe more compassionate. Because I feel that when we're, sometimes even patients will come in and they will not be less friendly, mm-hmm. let's say, or short with us. And I know that by having life experiences, we can understand that sometimes their being short or less than friendly is not something personal towards us, but maybe something going on in their lives, yeah. or their nerves or anxiety showing through because we're not giving them medication like we're said all the time, right? And so they're having to work through some of their challenges mm-hmm. to even show up at our footstep for care. And often I'll notice by the end of the visit, their demeanor has changed and it probably, we took them away from whatever mm-hmm. their worry for a little bit or their nerves relaxed a little bit and that feels good.
It feels really good. And through all of my follow-ups, I've learned like one of my happy places, and we regularly ask this in the room to our mm-hmm. patients, you know, go to your happy place, where's your happy mm-hmm. place? One of mine is actually at the Transplant Institute. Every time I go there, I leave feeling so re-energized and my joy cup, you know, or my jar is overflowing mm-hmm. with joy. And so I hope that our practice has really become that institution where people are like, I left feeling re-energized. I feel like that was what I needed to get me, you know, feeling my best self again.
No, that's true. That's for people that can't go to a transplant center regularly, right? Getting lasers or injections or...
Injections definitely
yeah, for me. definitely can be a happy place for a lot of people. Right. And those of us who get them understand that yes. in a way that's surprisingly common for a lot of us to feel that way. It's kind yes. of a shared feeling. Did this, obviously this cost you some time from work and we wanted you to have the time to do this. Did it cost you anything else? Did you get anything out of this other than the experience or the good feelings? It's a donation.
Right. So there's definitely a lot of perks and benefits that go into it. And I wish and I hope that anybody listening is still staying tuned for this part, because this was not paramount in my decision, but mm-hmm. this definitely was a deciding factor for me. One of the biggest things, and everyone asks, like, well, what if you need your kidney in the future, right? I got that question from everybody that I told my story right. to. I got two vouchers. So one is for myself. So in the future, if I ever need any organ, whether I need a liver, another kidney, heart transplant, lung transplant, whatever it may be, I do have a voucher from the Transplant Institute that I will immediately get bumped to the top of the list okay. without even going on the list.
Okay.
So I felt like in the event that I was in a situation, I just made a very crucial move so yeah. that future me will actually have a better access to quicker care. And then I did get a second voucher for a family member.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Unfortunately, my dad would need heart, liver, and kidney at this point. Yeah. So I didn't have three vouchers. But in the event that, you know, one of my nieces, my nephews, my future family, whatever that looks like, might yeah. need something, I felt like I took the right step. Which was really awesome, because those aren't things that they come out and tell you to begin with, because you shouldn't be motivated by.
Right. That's not your motivator. Right. right.
But when you're making decisions like that, you start to think like really critically, because they're like, you're 28. When you're 50, you're going to think differently. You have to try and think like a 50-year-old or future you. And right. so I had to think a little differently. I also, you know, being in my 20s, not a lot of people talk to you about life insurance, right? Mm-hmm. Things change when you hit right. 30. And so one of the things that I received was a very nice life insurance policy.
Oh, really?
That I pay nothing into, which I thought was really great. So that was a really big deciding factor for me as well, because I felt, again, I'm setting future me and my family up if yeah. anything ever did happen. And then they do like travel and, you know, so anytime I filled up my gas and drove to Orlando for labs or anything, I submitted to the okay. institute and they were able to refund that.
Okay.
Essentially like lost wages if my family was in a hotel or if we were traveling further. Luckily we didn't live too far. And I wasn't in the hospital but maybe 3 days.
Okay.
So there wasn't a lot that I needed there, but that is kind of like a stipend or, you know, a reimbursement that they're able to give to you. So again, you're getting like all of these amazing things for doing something so incredible. So even if you're interested in learning more, take that first step. And you know, I talk to so many people who are like, I would totally do it. And I hope that my story resonates with at least one person. Again, I go back to my initial comment that only roughly 400 people a year do something like this. And the transplant list for a kidney is like, I think it's like past 5 years now. I just hope that more people decide to get involved or give back to whatever means something to them, even if it's not the Transplant
right.
Institute.
Right, of yeah. course. Do you want to share how to contact you, an email or something, or social media, if someone wants to learn more about
of course.
Living donation or of kidney course. Donation?
Yeah, so you can definitely find me on Instagram if that is your preferred method of communication and you want to ask more questions. It's TomArnold20. And then you can always shoot me an email. It's arnoldtom475@gmail.com. I am more than happy to chat and go over my experience in detail. Grab a cup of coffee because I love coffee. I am on the list.
Well, that's good to know. You can still have coffee.
Yeah, after.
I can still have coffee. There are no food or dietary restrictions.
No restrictions. Right? I live a completely normal life. I just focus more on exercise and hydration. And I'm on a list with Advent Health. So when they have people who I've been reached or contacted, should I say, a couple of times about people who are interested in wanting to learn more. So, I'm the biggest advocate for donation. And I hope that other people.
Last question, just because we are in aesthetics, tell me about your scar.
I was not worried.
For those of us who are vain out there.
So, you know, you have your belly button and they kind of went like around it like a C almost.
Okay.
And it has healed beautifully. I will say, Dr. Day, kudos to you out in Orlando. He did a beautiful job. I get a little more sun exposure to the area than I should, but it has healed really beautiful. I don't have any pulling or bunching. It's continuing to go down. It's obviously visible, but we do, you know, once I'm cleared, I'm going to wait another few months, but I am going to start microneedling. I've been using the Elastin Reform and Repair,
okay,
which has been really helpful. I do think that that's helped with some of that
collagen
stimulation.
Our products help after any kind of surgery.
Yeah, so that was like the biggest thing. I was like, I went into it like really worried about what it was going to look like, and then I was like, I don't want it to completely go away, because it's like, it is such a memory. I look at it every day and it reminds me and it humbles me that I did something so much bigger than myself.
It's a surgical tattoo.
There's a family in Chicago who sing my praise every day, and not that that's why I did it, but it just reminds me of why I did it. So I'm very proud of it.
It's there's like, not all scars are bad, and we can make them look like where they're a good memory,
right,
where you can see it.
It's tasteful.
Enjoy it. Well, Tom, that was super inspiring.
Thank you.
And just outstanding information, and something a little different for us, because For Your Best Self means a lot of things. And giving of yourself to others actually pays back to yourself
100%
much more.
So
thank you for being so vulnerable and for sharing your story.
Yes, absolutely.
And for spending this time with us. And For Your Best Self audience, thank you for listening. And I look forward to another podcast soon. So until next time.
Thanks, everyone.